including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild. This is the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. The theme is called Life of a Poncho by Jules Andre Brown. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Ruben Cloggs. How's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah.
It's been good for a week?
Yeah. Minus the snow, of course. But, everybody knows that that's my favorite nod. So anyway, we're here with a special guest, and today she's going to talk to us about self-employment programs for people with disabilities. Our guest is Lynn Briston, and he had a bunch of letters behind her name. That's pretty cool. Lynn is a business coach for the Pacific Self-Employment Program serving Delta and Surrey, where she guides and mentors new entrepreneurs from a diverse population. Participants in the program receive training, prepare a business plan, and follow it through through their first year of business. Wow. Mm. So you guide everybody through their first year of business. That's pretty cool.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. It is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, this as a business coach, the first year of business, what is it, 90% of businesses don't make it?
Yeah, if they're not in a self-employment program. So, the letters behind my name is professional certified coach and certified business counselor. So that's what I bring to the table as in the work that I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you get started doing that in general?
How did I get started? Oh, well, I was actually working in media many years ago, freelancing.
Oh.
And found that times were changing and the gigs were getting further and further apart, and I knew that I needed to make a shift. I was a single mom at the time, and leveraged my coordination skills into working in education, and found myself doing some administrative work for a self-employment program. Mm-hmm. But recognized that working one-on-one with the people in the program was way more interesting, and so I was able to get some training as a professional coach and found my way into working as, first we called it a business advisor, and now we call it a business coach.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So I guess tell us a little bit about the self-employment programs. How does that actually work?
Sure. The self-employment programs, there's a number of different services that are called self-employment, but the one that I work with predominantly is the federally funded 48-week program. So that, you know, people who are unemployed, who have determined that becoming business owners is their next career path, can access a self-employment program. And in that, they get some training and some basic concepts on what you absolutely need to know about as a business owner. You spend some time working on writing a business plan, and then you go and follow the plan to launch the business.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The training component is within the first few weeks of the program, and then you take what you learn and apply it to the business concept that you've come in with and write the business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the business plan has to pass review. There's a community review panel that looks at all the plans and decides whether or not a plan and the person writing it has the potential to make that business viable. It'll make enough money. And if they pass that review, then they continue on in the program and launch the business.
What does the review actually look like? Maybe, of course, you got to eliminate all the, for confidentiality, eliminate names, all that sort of stuff. But how does one match the person to, if they can actually pull off the business itself?
That's a good question. In terms of the confidentiality, all of the people who have volunteered to be on our review panel sign off a confidentiality agreement before they're invited in to see business plans. We select for our community review panel people who have quite a high level of business acumen, and so they can look at a range of different kinds of businesses, and they know enough about the pitfalls and the risks involved in starting business that they can give feedback on a wide range of businesses. And most of the people are either have a lot of marketing expertise, or they've come from an accounting background, or in some cases they've, I would call us, are serial entrepreneurs themselves. You know, they've had a number of businesses, and so they've been there, done that, and can share some wisdom about what they've learned.
Okay.
And they're generally people who really want to help. They're contributing their time. They want to make sure that people who are getting started in business do so in a way that's most likely to see them succeed.
So it's kind of also they're not there just to say, because of this limitation or that limitation, this just simply isn't going to work for you. They're there to say, hey, with this guidance or that guidance and mentorship and offering mentorship, they help make the business plan actually work.
They don't actually provide mentorship per se, but they are very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's, I guess, what it looks like is not the Dragon's Den, if you will. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit entertaining. And for the people who were doing the presentations, it can feel as scary as being on the Dragon's Den because, I mean, they're there. They have to talk about their business. The reviewers are sent the plans a week beforehand, and then each participant stands up, gives their little spiel, their 5-minute, not elevator, but their pitch on the business, and then they get questions from the reviewers. And so it puts them under a fair bit of pressure.
All right, I'm out.
Well, it kind of makes sense, too, because if you aren't in the right mindset, you're not going to be able to defend your business. So how are you going to make it operate if you can't defend it to begin with?
Yeah, you got to know your business inside out before you're going to get out there and do it.
And Kelly, you're in. You could probably do like some sort of a media business. You're already halfway.
Yeah.
You do a lot of that now.
Well, in the music industry, yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So. Let's bring this back to because people are listening. They have most of them have some sort of a disability or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So is this also geared towards people that have disabilities or just in general?
The program that I work in is general, and people who have a disability are one of the groups that we can serve in the program.
Okay.
So by and large, the program, you know, it originally follows the guidelines that were set out by the federal government and the Services Canada, the people who pay the employment insurance funds.
Right.
Okay. So the primary eligibility criteria is that someone has been on EI in the last 5 years or on an active claim. That's where most of our people come from. And there's another provision for people who have a disability to access the program. So for them, the eligibility would be either they have the PWD status, the person with a disability, or the PPMB, the person with multiple persistent barrier. That's another. And or someone with a general disability that has been verified by a special needs assessment, a disability-related employment needs assessment that they do with a vocational counselor. So it's been determined that yes, they would qualify. They're not in receipt of benefits, but they would qualify to be eligible for the program. And so we see, you know, not a huge percentage, but a number of people accessing the program that way.
Okay.
Now, that's for people who have the capacity to sit in a classroom and learn in workshops and, you know, have the ability to produce a business plan and that kind of thing. For people who want to start a business and have a disability but would need an additional, not additional, but a different way of getting the supports they need, there's something called customized self-employment. And that is working one-on-one with a specialized case manager who would provide them with the training and supports that they would need to put together not a business plan, but a plan to get a business going in a way that they could earn some money doing something that people value. Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty much what starting a business is about, providing a service or a product that people see value in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. And are willing to pay for.
Yeah. And I'm going to pick on Kelly again for a second. See, you do fit in there.
Okay.
So, because you were wonderful and brought a list of questions too, but we're going to expand on those.
Of course we are.
We can't just be robots, right? Did you answer this one? What are the criteria for the people?
You did
answer that one. Because obviously there's got to be some synergy between the program and the person trying to get into the program.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that all fit together so that we have the right people entering the right program?
So, going through that eligibility criteria is the first step, and then once we get past that, we're looking at a number of factors. First of all, you know, what's the applicant's background, skills, and experience? They need to show us that they can offer their service or product in a way that is credible, you know, because of what their knowledge is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then do they have the resources or do they have sufficient resources to do the business that they're planning to start? Meaning, do they have enough money? Or some businesses don't require a lot of money to start up, but maybe do they already have some of the equipment that they need? Do they have the equipment or, you know, access to other ways of financing the business? You don't have money sitting in the bank account, but maybe they've got some available credit, or they've already talked to people in the banking community and have found a source of funding, or someone, you know, a lot of businesses get started with what they call love money, you know, someone who cares enough about you to loan you some money to get started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important thing to mention, that like my own business, it being in media, people are like, what do you mean you started that with no money?
But I was
very strong in networking. Mm-hmm. So I was able to network with people and be able to get them to say, well, I'll give you a shot at it for services. And I knew people who already were had some kind of local media thing going already, so I was able to join in. Mm-hmm. And again, back to Kelly, because Kelly was actually pretty instrumental in that, because we were able to team together to do this radio show. And Kelly was really good in syndicating.
Yeah, mm. Great.
So forming relationships.
Yeah. So yeah. One of the resources that you brought to the table was your ability to network.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, you got your skill set, but your ability to network. And the other thing, and this is, it's not as quantifiable, but the commitment level, the enthusiasm, the drive, the mindset, the want to do it.
Right.
And if that's not there, I mean, a lot of the other pieces can be there, but if it's not in kind of in their, I'm going to say in their DNA to just make it happen,
right,
it's going to be a pretty hard go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What is this? Somebody said there's a difference between wanting something and then thirsting for it or hungering for it.
Yeah. Well, I can't say everybody who comes into the program has that, has a thirst or the drive. Because, you know, in reality, not everybody comes into self-employment with that hunger. Sometimes it's kind of a backing into it. You know, they recognize that they're in a particular profession or a line of work that, gosh, there just aren't any 9-to-5 jobs in this. Or, you know, it's just the kind of work that lends itself better to being self-employed.
Right.
Which then makes it a great fit for somebody who's differently abled, who for whom sitting in an office 9-to-5 just isn't going to happen. They have things going on that would make that very challenging for them. So by being self-employed, then they've got some flexibility with the hours that they work, the way that they work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of examples of, you know, somebody who had a desire to be a publisher, but had debilitating IBS. work on her laptop at home. And, you know, in a comfortable position, you know, not sitting in an office somewhere.
You brought me to a giggle point, because I do a lot of work at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're in that phone conversation, you just got to go, right? It's like, remember, don't flush. it's kind of the running joke.
Well, you know, when I was on a radio interview with my husband. Well, on the break, he did that, and it kind of, we heard you.
Yeah, exactly, because they can hear you.
Yeah. So yes, working from home has, you know, it's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we can work in our jammies if we want to, and as long as we're not on Skype.
Yeah. I've never worked in my... Yeah. Okay, all right. So
sweats, okay.
Okay, you're bringing me to another giggle point, right?
Okay.
Because we're sitting here on radio. No one can actually see us.
That's true.
And so we could be sitting around in our jammies right now, and no one ever know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was on television. Because, mm-hmm. like, newscasts, you only see from
the
bodice
the
stuff.
Up,
right?
Yeah. A little above the waist, yeah.
There's been a few times where I've been behind the camera, where mm-hmm. the guy just is like, crap, I got called in, and all he had time to do is grab the shirt, the tie, and the jacket. And he had whatever scrubby stuff on and flip-flops because no one's going to see that part.
No, that's, so it's kind of really funny.
Yeah. And it's something that people don't think of when going on camera. But
So for, you know, back to the, you know, people with disabilities and starting a business, you know, there's that flexibility in the hours that they can work and their working style.
So we're getting back to the thirst and the hunger. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so you said maybe they come into the program not having it, but towards the end, you guys would probably get them excited that, hey, they can actually do something. Something could come out of this.
Excited, affirmed, feeling more confident. Mm-hmm. You know, a boost in self-esteem. You know, that their hope in a better life is restored.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, those are all pretty wonderful outcomes.
Yeah. And you know, that's important stuff for anybody. Mm-hmm. And Kelly's looking at me like,
we're done.
It's break. It's time for a break. Yes. And when we get back, we'll get back to the excitement and how you guys give people that hope.
Okay. All right. So we'll have a break for just a few minutes, and we'll be back in a moment on the Community Living Show. Our guest is Lynn Briston, who is a business coach, Pacific Self-Employment Program that works for WorkBC, right? All right, so we'll be back in a moment. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day. You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA stations, the National Campus and Radio Association networks across British Columbia and across Canada. And you can go online at www.ncra.ca. Our guest is Lynn Briston, who is the Pacific Coach Employment Program. And Michael, go ahead for some more questions.
Yep. So when we left, I said we'd get back to the hope that you guys provide, because that's more important than anything else, right? Is hope.
Yes, because it's hope that really fuels us to continue on and do the things that we believe we can do. And I think for a lot of people, well, I've seen a lot of people who were either just entering the program or just thinking about it, they've started to get that glimmer of hope that life could be better than what it has been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I think about that, it's someone who inspired me quite a long time ago. It was a man by the name of Ernesto Ciroli, who was an economic development person. I was in one of his trainings, and we were talking about looking at someone and seeing the gifts and the talent that they had. You know, whatever else was going on for them, whatever challenges they had, there was some gift or talent that they had to bring to the table. And if we can continue to sort of bring that more alive and kind of ignite the spark and keep fanning the flame, then there's this, you know, great opportunity for them to fulfill a greater potential than what they thought they could have initially.
Right. Yeah. That's really cool, because knowing that you can fulfill something greater than just you as a part, or be a part of something greater than you as a whole. That's really a good chunk of the human experience. I mean, what's that? What is that like when you finally see like the light go on and it's like, yeah, this person's gonna succeed?
It's quite rewarding, and there are steps of that. I don't know that necessarily they're going to succeed even beyond our program. I know that they will succeed at something. There's a number of incremental steps all the way through, you know, right from the, well, yes, you can get a business concept proposal written. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, what people need to do even before they come into the program. They've got to show us that there's a potential for a viable business before we accept them into the program. And so there's a fair bit of work that they need to do to prove to us that that's the case, even before coming in. And then, well, you know, I was meeting with somebody just yesterday who is, and we see this quite often, not just with people with disabilities, but people who've been working in the trades for a long time. Mm-hmm. They've been doing hands-on work, and we're asking them to write a business plan working on a computer. And they're going, but I don't work on a computer. Well, and you can. So, you know, I was working with somebody who was working in the trades, has pretty severe ADD, has been able to access the program, and he's writing his plan by hand.
Okay.
And the next step is going to, you know, get some help to get that into the computer. And, you know, I asked him a little bit more. I said, so do you know, you've been on a computer, you write emails. He says, yeah, it's when it comes to saving stuff, I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. He says, but if it's printed out, then I've got it. So it's like, I can see there's just a little bridge that we need to build to get writing a business plan. And so this is a really incredible just step-by-step rewards, and those build one upon the other.
Right.
Yeah. And then they get to, and I know this guy's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you look for the small successes to lead to the,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something else that we were talking about, mindset stuff, and mm-hmm. and that's, for anybody, that's like, just to be able to take the first step is like so cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was his first step, to write it down,
mm-hmm.
so that he knew that he was safe and had. Wow, mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says something about you as a coach, though, because you were like, well, it has to go in the computer, and you're like, no, you can't. You were like, yeah, let's do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool for you as a coach, that you would recognize that he needed to have that part for himself in order to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm always looking at how can we,
mm-hmm.
not just, and I love that question. I think that was somebody who articulated that really well, was the fellow who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, and his Rich Dad didn't take no for an answer. It was just, how can I?
Robert Kiyosaki.
Kiyosaki, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's every step is how can I? How can I?
Yeah.
And so often people come into my office and they're, oh, this isn't working, or that's not working. Well, okay, so what is? And then, okay, now what could we just shift or tweak or change a little bit so that it works better?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I did that to somebody the other day. It was like, they were like, they went through a whole long list of gripes, and I was like, so what are you grateful for? And what is actually working right now? Because it's important to focus on what is working, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just, you know, being as a coach, and having someone share with me what's going on, where they're kind of bumping up against the edges, and just being able to be outside of their headspace and be able to look back in and say, well, but what if you tried this? What if you, you know, it's easier to have someone else see a little bit further outside of the box and kind of feed it back in. So, you know, and they go, oh, yeah, okay, let's try that.
Yeah, it's important for, again, that's important for just about anybody.
Yes, absolutely.
It's Because I'm probably sure you have a person that you call and say, you know what, I just can't seem to see this. Can you help me out?
Oh, I get stuck in my own stuff too. Yeah, for sure. We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into a little bit about eliminating fear, because a lot of people, of course, people with disabilities, they're afraid that you were talking about the financial part.
Yeah.
And I hear this from a number of my friends that they're like, yeah, well, I would love to do some ad work with you and do some marketing work with you, but if I don't get past this point in income, I won't survive because they would have taken my disability away.
Yeah, and that's a real big disincentive for a lot of people on disability benefits, and they may not have learned about the self-employment program agreement with the Ministry of Social Development, which my understanding is that you can earn up to a certain amount while you're on benefit. Well, once you formally enter into the agreement with MSD as a self-employment person, the total earned income is not your total sales, it's your net sales.
Okay.
So for somebody who's not familiar with those terms, if you go and say, if you're working as a virtual assistant and your billing for the month is $1,500, now that would take you over the earned income amount.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you had $600 in business expenses, allowable business expenses, that takes your net income down to $900, which is within the $1,000 average monthly amount that you can earn within that ministry self-employment program agreement. So you keep your benefits. And you keep your net income of the business. The other thing that, and I was just speaking with a woman in the ministry last week just to get my facts clear before coming and talking with you, they actually look at an annual amount of $12,000 net earned income through the business.
Okay, that makes sense.
So if you go over it 1 month and then maybe under the next month, they just keep going until you've hit that annual amount. So maybe it's, you know, September and you hit your $12,000 max. Mm-hmm. They don't take your, they take the monthly benefit amount away, but they keep you on the status, on PWD status for your medical insurance and that kind of thing.
So they'll adjust it, but they don't remove it.
Yeah, and then they reset. What I understand is they reset to zero at the beginning of the year again.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's because they recognize that for people with disabilities that it's not like they're going to start a business and then they're home free. Like disabilities ebb and flow. I mean, you're going to have bouts where it's an issue and you're going to have bouts where it's healthy, depending on what the condition is. And there's going to be times when you're going to be able to really rock it in your business, and there's going to be times when you need to pull back and take care of yourself.
Well, especially in cases like one friend, she's actually the graphic artist who developed our logos. She has fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. It's like, so, and she's also bipolar. Okay.
Yep.
So one day she could be all happy, everything's good, right? And then the next day she wake up and she's in too much pain, or she found herself in a manic state because being bipolar and chronic fatigue, that could be a real interesting mix, because being bipolar, sleep is important. So chronic fatigue syndrome introduces sleep deprivation. So there's a whole lot of things that could go that, okay, well, maybe you aren't able to maintain the workload for a whole bunch of clients all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you still have your safety net, is what you're saying.
That's right. You do have the safety net.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that takes a lot of that fear away.
Right.
Yeah. But the important thing is that somebody who wants to do that is that they contact the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And they enter into the agreement. You can't go and, you know, retroactively say, oh, well, you know.
Right.
It has to be
formalized. So they should contact someone like you and...
That would be a good start. I could give them, there's contact information for the ministry, but I could certainly point them in that direction.
Yeah. So we'll make sure we get your contact information at the end of the mm-hmm. show.
Well, and just generally speaking, if somebody's wanting to access any kind of self-employment programs, the best place to do is drop into their regional WorkBC office. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they have a disability, it's more likely that they would be assigned to work with a case manager that specializes in working with people designated.
Or, mm-hmm.
And even if it's a general disability, they don't have the PWD or PPMB status. If it's a general disability, if they self-disclose and ask about what kind of supports might be available to them, then they can be assigned to those specialized case managers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So step one is don't just sit there in despair. Go ask some questions, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And you said WorkBC?
WorkBC.
So, and that's pretty cool because I think we have some listeners that are in Nanaimo. And there's a few other stations on the program exchange that may be as far away as like Golden or something like that. So they're not going to be able to really reach you, but they can reach somebody who's going to be right in their hometown.
Yeah. And, you know, WorkBC is all across the province. You know, they're regionally allocated. And then for self-employment programs, sometimes in the rural areas, we've got the Community Futures offices are working in conjunction with WorkBC to run self-employment programs.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways to access help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, because honestly, sometimes the people think that, the government's there to limit and they're not there to help. And it sounds like, hey, government is actually here to help, right?
They are. They get pretty persnickety if you don't play by their rules.
Well,
but and there's a lot of emphasis put on getting people out of poverty.
Right.
I mean, it's called the Ministry of Social Development and Poverty Reduction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Key word being poverty reduction.
Yeah.
So, because the Lower Mainland, the poverty is relative, right?
It is. Yeah.
So
anyway,
but using these programs, that somebody can actually find affordable rent and things like that. Because they're making a bit more money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other topic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those. There's a few of those kind of topics that we wind up beating with sticks, especially on this show, because it's important stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're flipping pages. There's something important I need to ask you, isn't there?
I don't know. I just thought there'd be some other important questions.
Yeah. We already covered how the program works somewhere. Mm-hmm. If you want to get maybe some more details about how the program works that we could get into.
Yeah, sure. With the regular self-employment program, I did talk a little bit about, the training piece.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, we want to make sure that people are equipped with knowledge that they might not know yet. Most people we expect to have knowledge about the product or the service, the businesses that they're coming in with.
Right.
But there's a whole other set of data knowledge that they need to have to run a business effectively.
Right.
And, you know, the financial administration being one sort of pocket of information, and the sales and marketing and all of the client attraction stuff is on the other side. And so we want to make sure that they get – we equip them with as much as we can share with them in a short period of time to get them going in the right direction.
That's very true, because most people only think that there's like two things to a business. And it's, as you mentioned, there's three: the production, whatever the product or service actually is, and then there's the financial part, and then the financial admin part, and then, because if you don't have the financial and admin part, you're not going to collect any money.
No, you won't.
Not effectively.
Or you might be doing really a great job at attracting the business and collecting the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not tracking it, you might not, you know, be paying Canada Revenue what you're supposed to be paying them, or, you know, getting yourself in arrears with your GST and end up with, you know, a great big huge tax bill that takes you out of the running.
Right.
So, you know, it's super important that you understand all of those different parts of the business.
Of course. Go ahead.
We're talking to Lynn Bryson, who is the Business Coach Employment Program. You're tuned into the Community Living Show. I hate to interrupt you.
Well, it's time to interrupt.
We'll be back in a moment.
Open Media International is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
You are tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio stations. I'm Kelly, this is Michael, and we are talking to Lynn Bryston, B-R-I-S-D-O-N.
Bryston.
Bryston.
I wonder if you're going to correct us.
Yeah, well.
I get corrected for correcting people, you know. No,
we want to
Bryston.
Bryston, yeah.
Okay,
Bryston.
I thought it was Bryston with the long I, right?
Yeah.
All right, my apologies.
That's okay. Bryston.
Final segment.
Yeah, it is kind of an ongoing joke between Kelly and I that we mispronounce people's
names.
So, but you took it all in good humor.
Oh, thank
you.
That's
good.
Thank you.
Oh, but that's what makes you an awesome coach, right?
Oh, thanks, Michael.
What were we talking about?
I was talking a little bit about the training and sort of the kind of the knowledge that we hope to impart, you know, within the
And we were talking about the marketing versus admin, financial versus production and all that, because everybody, if they're going into the business, we would hope that they're going to be really good at the production part of it.
That's well, it's not just an assumption we make. You know, that's we look at people's resume. We listen to how they talk about what it is that they're doing. So we can tell that there's a fair level of expertise with it. But I find, and there's usually people are either in one camp or the other. They're really great at the sales and marketing, and they just love to be out talking with people. They're really outgoing, and even if they're introverted, they really like to make connections with people, and they can build on that. or they're really great with the details and the financial minutiae. And it's very rare that you get someone with both of those skill sets. They're quite different types of personalities. But, you know, the odd time there is. So I can usually tell that if I've got somebody who's great at getting out to the in doing the networking and connecting in the community and pulling in work, that I'm probably going to have to chase them down for getting their profit and loss statement sent in every month.
Right.
Because it's just not their thing. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that we do in the program is we give people some reporting requirements. Like we do want you to get in the habit of doing your books every month, you know, whether you're doing it yourself or delegating it to somebody mm-hmm. else, you need to stay on top of that. And so, and that's doubly so for the person who's, you know, the PWD participant who also needs to do that monthly reporting to the ministry to let them know what their net income is. And
right.
So they really need to get into the habit of staying on top of their financial tracking. So I digress. But so you know, the people who are good at doing that financial stuff, you know, they might need a little bit more of a nudge to go out and do the networking and find the systems that work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, those are the some of the key things that we cover off in the training program. Of course, both of these aspects have to be written into the business plan. I mean, you've got your financials, you know, the
right.
the projections, and then you've got to have a solid marketing plan that paints, you know, the picture of how you're going to first identify who your customers are, you know, what their needs are. Come up with the market message, the market yeah. message that's going to connect in their heads where they just absolutely have to have what you've got.
Yeah, exactly.
When that problem solution fit.
Identify who their audience is. It's because how many times have we heard that, everyone, no.
not everyone is your customer. Not everyone is your customer, no.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we need to find things that there's a demand for,
mm-hmm.
and that people value enough that they will pay money for it. And that's, and you and I have heard this. You know, it's finding the pain point or the problem that we're providing a solution for.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and then figuring out who's got that going
right.
on.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. You said it so eloquently, too.
Oh, thank you. I've had lots of practice over the few years. yeah.
But it was the marketing part is something that that I'm really strong at is because I'll tell you from personal experience is like, okay, yeah, yes, I can take a great picture, which is the production,
mm-hmm.
and the marketing part, going out and shaking hands with people and saying, hey, I can do this for you. You know, but I really suck at the admin part.
Yeah. So how do you support yourself in that part of the business?
Well, the one of the best ways to do it was to team up with a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
Because that Brilliant. Person is going to be strong in those areas.
Absolutely.
So that's the point, right?
That's the point. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're weak in one area, mm-hmm. strengthen ourselves up in another area.
Yeah.
So you teach people how to do that?
Well, I certainly coach people on, you know, how can you connect with other people to support you in the business? It's challenging for people who are in that startup phase.
Mm-hmm.
It's like before they get to that point where they know that they've got enough income coming in to pay somebody
yeah.
to provide that service. There's a bit of a friction point there. And when do they know that that's going to be an expense that they've got enough to cover?
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, with the in the PWD self-employment program, there's an expense
so if you had to pay somebody you collected
mm-hmm.
if we're back to our example you
yeah.
collected the $1,500
mm-hmm.
and you had to pay $600 to an admin person there it is.
Right there.
You're back under yep. the 1,000 debt.
Mm-hmm. And you've helped somebody else out. Virtual assistance is a great business for somebody who wants to work at home and maybe has lots of skills but doesn't want to go and work in an office.
It's a great business for stay at home parents.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who may not be able to concentrate through a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
You can hook up a lot of really positive things with people.
Yeah, I'm thinking just other people that I've seen come through the program with on the disability track, people with extreme chemical sensitivities.
Oh yeah.
They cannot go and work in any kind of a regular work environment because of the cleaners that are used and what have you, but they can run a business at home.
Yeah. I totally get that one. I don't have a sensitivity, but I have a very sensitive nose.
Oh.
It's
yeah.
like, oh God, which way are they using to clean this place today?
So
I can see how that could be a problem. It's something I hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to make sure that we're clear because I don't want some people thinking that that you're going to provide them training on how to produce the product. They have to already have that knowledge, right?
They have.
I want to make sure that's absolutely,
absolutely
clear.
Absolutely, and that's pretty much across the board for any self-employment program. The applicant has the skill sets required to deliver the services or sell the product. Now, if someone has what we call a number of barriers to employment, mm-hmm. they may, and it would certainly be the case with somebody with disabilities, they may work on a long-term plan with a case manager that first got them the training on right. whatever, the product or service was, and then went into a self-employment program. I've seen that happen.
I think of
a gal who went into home inspection.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Got the funding to go through the home inspection and then the funding to do the self-employment program. Mm-hmm. So those are rare cases, the way that the WorkBC assesses someone's needs is based on the number of barriers they have to employment, and with higher barriers, then there's more services. Yeah.
So, you've already given me fuel to maybe refer. You're personally in Surrey, right?
I'm personally in Surrey at the Guildford, Fleetwood Guildford WorkBC site. The Pacific Self-Employment Program provides services in most of Surrey and Delta.
Okay.
And there are all of the WorkBC sites across the province should have an agreement with somebody who's providing self-employment services. And then, somebody who's already in benefits can contact the ministry directly and ask about the self-employment program.
Because there's two friends of mine. One, I'm actually going to mention her name, Allie. Mm-hmm. She's a graphic artist,
mm-hmm.
But she's still in school. And I'm assuming that she's found some way to actually help get the schooling paid for. But I want to make sure that she talks to you about the self-employment part, because I don't know if she's actually talked to anybody about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I will actually make sure that she has your contact information. And Kelly, should we have her give her the golden question of how do people get a hold of her?
Well,
how much time we got?
You got about 3 minutes.
We got about three minutes.
I can tell you my phone number.
Yeah, yeah. Phone number and maybe again where your office is.
Yeah, so the Pacific Self-Employment Program mm-hmm. operates out of the Fleetwood Guildford WorkBC office, which is at 103A and 152A in the Fleetwood Guildford area.
Yeah,
it's WorkBC. if people wanted to call me and just had some general questions about accessing self-employment, I'm at 604-580-9762.
Okay.
And I may not be able to answer all questions. I can answer some questions and I can direct people to services that would be suitable for them.
Okay. What is one golden nugget that people should walk away with this in your coach? So you should be able to have at least one golden nugget.
Well, you know, I think if you've got an idea of something that you could provide as a business, you know, mm-hmm. and you're not sure about how to start that, or, you know, since we're talking about people with disabilities, if you're not sure if it would fit within, you know, the self-employment program mandate within the ministry, find out, ask questions, because if you can conceive of it and see it possible, and you can see that you've got something that has value, and then even if people have expressed interest in, you know, purchasing something from you, then it's worth pursuing. And a personal belief is that if we can do things that we're passionate about and find interesting and rewarding and make a living doing that, I mean, just that makes the world a better place for everybody.
Wow. That really is a golden nugget.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's been really cool having you here today. And we'll go back to Kelly, I guess.
Well, no, it's very interesting to hear some of the Work BC stuff that has happened. Actually, I've been to one on Vancouver and on Broadway, so that's where I got my job. Actually, it's also another job called Jobs West, which is also part of the disability as well.
Okay.
So
great.
They kind of combine both Work BC and Jobs West combined of what I do for my work as well. So
yeah. There's some pretty cool programs I touched on the customized self-employment, but there's also customized employment, finding work that fits for people's different abilities.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
For the show. And thank you, Michael.
Yeah.
And well, hopefully we'll see you all again next week. Do we have a show next week?
Next week, I'm not too sure about who's on the schedule.
You
but
mentioned
I know
ICBC.
Yes. I am. I've been in contact with organization called Road BC, and they're part of the Trial Lawyers Association. I think it's Trial Lawyers Association. And they're having a talk about some of the changes that are happening with ICBC and the caps and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
And
so we'll just tune in next week.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to actually have one of those trial lawyers come on with us.
Right.
A lady from, I'll give her a quick plug, a lady from CAS Law here in Vancouver. She's going to come and talk to us about what our rights are from being injured in an accident.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, so if you want to join us as well, you can email us, both me and Michael, communityliving.radio@gmail.com. Do you check the Community Living Radio?
I do check it.
Good. I'm counting on you on that. Yeah. All right, so that is it for the show. We have three stations. The Tuesday you're on is on CITR 101.9 FM, streaming online at CITR.ca. And of course, we're on Tuesdays from 1 to 2. Thursdays, we're on CHLY in Nanaimo. We mentioned about Nanaimo just a moment ago. And so CHLY.ca, 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. Thursdays from 1 to 2. Sundays from 10 to 11 is on Co-op Radio, Vancouver's Co-op Radio. CFRO 100.5 FM and streaming online at cooperadio.org. And again, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thunder snow. Lightning strikes. Holy smoke. totally lit up the sky. You can have your $500 million jackpot in Powerball, but I'll take this thundersnow. Lightning strikes, holy smoke, totally lit up the sky. Dude, I'm telling you, this is Chicago all over again. Yes, listen to that. Thundersnow. That's a twofer, baby! Yes! Yes, again! That's a three! Oh, my goodness! You gotta be kidding me! Was that another one? Oh, my God! Four! Five strikes. Dude, that's number six! You gotta be kidding me! Six episodes of Thundersnow. Lightning strikes. Holy smoke! Totally lit up the sky. You can have your $500 million jackpot in Powerball, but I'll take this thunderstorm. Lightning strikes, holy smoke, totally lit up the sky. Dude, I'm telling you, this is Chicago all over again. Yes, listen to that. Thunderstorm, 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 listen to that. Thunderstorm.
So why you gotta leave so soon? I wish you would've known that I'd be dead soon. Yo, why you gotta leave so soon? I wish I had known I would wait for you.
Yo, why you gotta leave me, boo-boo? Baby, come back to me. I'm not bad. Yo, why you gotta leave me, boo-boo? Baby, come back to me.
I'm not that bad.
Life moves on. My life is gonna move on. Say bye to mom, say bye to the little ones. There are those who are dead, they are not really dead. I wish you would believe that they're living in my head.
I know where hell is it hello? Heaven ain't goodbye forever, time for me to go. Home is for coming from, but dreams are going too. With any luck will never come true, boo. R.I.P. to my mans and them. And how I stole around with all the chemicals then.
So why you gotta leave so soon? I wish you would've known that I'd be there soon. Yo, why I gotta leave so soon? I wish I would've known I would wait for you.
Where's my old dog gang to count? I heard an old man say, I whispered in that old man's ear, you guys done gone away. I don't really need much, just a little free rent. And I can't retouch, you see the letter I sent? But to tell you the truth, I really miss your saying. And I'm sorry that I never said a word that I meant. Being around now, I'm always losing everybody. Multiple funeral by the time I was 20.
You made me braver, you made me braver. You made me better, you made me better. You let my sweater, you let my sweater. In cold weather,
cold weather.
I bet you miss me too, but I don't really care at all to miss you.
I'll miss you.
So why you gotta leave so soon? I wish you would.